Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Solid tune. Where'd that come from?
A local band, Himbry. They played at the K multiple times for like student nights and stuff.
Really?
And
okay.
So I always try to shout them out because they're local and, you know, got to support the local groups.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. What's it called?
The song is called Symmetry Lines and the group is called Himbry.
H-E-M-B-R-E-E.
Yes.
Or were they just big fans of Alan Embry?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
We'll be one consonant more than Alan Embry. Don't know where the name came from, but I like the tune. So there you go. A little shout out to a local band. Our thanks to everybody. Starting with you, Ballins.
I know.
Chris Bolig.
It's one of those days, man.
I was driving around. I'm like, but maybe I'll stop by.
Yeah. Hey, all the help is great. I love it.
Listen, that's what makes it great. And I think, you know, we know it's frustrating to listen to when things are cutting out all the time. Seren Petro with you here on Sports Saturday. Brad Porter is talking to Adam Teicher. We'll hear his conversation with Adam Teicher and get his thoughts. Teicher's thoughts on how practice went today. We'll get Brad's thoughts on how practice went today. I know Nate Bucati, Ali Trost, Darren Smith up at Chiefs training camp for us here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I will continue to reiterate, if you're just getting into your car, we're literally having technical difficulties because you like the Chiefs too much, people. So many fans are going up there. The Chiefs needed more bleachers. And so they said, hey, we got to move you. We're like, okay, yeah, we get that. We don't want to stand in the way of the fans being able to see practice. But there are always technical challenges that have to be overcome whenever you move where all the gear and all the wiring, the power, and the phone lines that we use to a broadcaster from. And so we're working through it. We appreciate your patience. Believe me, I think we actually could have been like, screw you. This is our spot. We got a contract that says this is our spot. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but it sounds better if that's the case. So I'm gonna go with that.
Go with it.
Until somebody says something else. But because we're so much about the fans at 810, we said, hell yes. Go ahead, put up some more bleachers, get the fans their view, and we will move out of the way. But it does require some challenges, which we'll try to work through here. Two more weeks of camp, and hopefully we'll get those all cleared up to bring you everything as crystal clear as possible. We certainly want to do it, but thanks to Brad Porter and Chris Bolig, first and foremost, as the guys, the tip of the spear here today and trying to work through what is a really challenging situation. So,
and thank you for joining us on Saturday. Like, this is really much appreciated, and you're doing a great job.
Oh, geez,
on the fly.
Thanks, Chris.
You're doing a great job on the fly.
Listen, I what would I have to do? I've only got a 9 and 12-year-old child. What would I really honestly have to do on a Saturday?
Sit on the porch.
Let me tell you, my wife is thrilled. Just get out of the house.
Yes.
It actually is a good day because there's 4 9-year-olds running around my house post-sleepover, like finishing up the sleepover. So... it's good times. I think my wife is like, just, it's fine. Just get out. Just go. Just get that. Just enough of you. So here I am. But always happy to talk Chiefs football. Love the Chiefs. You just, you know, really just cut away from my top 25 prep time. Don't worry about it. I got to put my ballot in on Monday. But, you know, whatever.
I'm sure you'll be fine.
Just looking forward to, you know, Paul Feinbaum's response on my top 25.
That was quite something. I did enjoy that.
not to pull us too far away from the Chiefs, but I will tell you, because I try to not just spend all my time focusing on the top five teams, right? That's what I
keep it well rounded. You want to be well rounded.
Well, I think you need to know and you need to be prepared. I always do a 40. You know, my top 40. And so I think you need to really work all the way through so you're ready to make accurate choices as things happen throughout. But I'm giving strong consideration to Georgia at number one. Feinbaum.
Over Clemson?
the hair that's left, the hula skirt of hair that's left on Finebaum will singe off if I put Georgia at one, Clemson two, Bama three. But I actually, Clemson and Bama, I might have Bama two and Clemson three. But if Georgia's,
they lost a lot on the defensive line.
I know they did, but they got good talent behind them.
Yeah, true.
But the Georgia offensive line and a veteran quarterback and a Georgia defensive line and a talented Georgia defense has me thinking this might be the year for Georgia. But I'm trying to not make Georgia number one because I feel like there'll be some people that are like, you're just trying to get after Finebaum. But his head would explode.
It would explode
if I go Georgia one.
And yes, you do the research. We all know that. So, you don't want to have that that aura that, oh, I'm just trying to get at Finebaum. But
I'm worried. I don't pick Georgia.
I think you have the cred that you're unbiased in how you put together your top 25.
Yeah, I have no juice with Clemson, Georgia, or Alabama. I have no ties to any of those three. But I feel like, all right. Like, am I going to discredit Georgia, who I think is going to be really, really good this year? Am I going to discredit Georgia because I don't want to look like I'm just trying to get Finebaum's goad, you know, again? And so, I don't know. Anyway, so that's what I was pulled from. So no big deal today to come in and talk some Chiefs football here with you. We heard from Andy Reid, Anthony Hitchens, and Carlos Hyde. By the way, our camp coverage, and always appreciate our sponsors, which make it possible for us to bring you this camp coverage. Missouri Lottery, play it forward with the Missouri Lottery. Mosaic Life Care and your Kansas City GMC dealers. I think, you know, interesting. I really do. The highlight of those three conversations, what we could bring you of those conversations to me was I really felt like Andy Reid was sending a message to Damian Williams. I thought secondarily was, you know, I really, not that Carlos Hyde said anything foolish. I didn't think there was a whole lot there from Carlos Hyde. I'm working hard, glad to be here, always room to improve, you know, want to do my part, so on and so forth. I thought a lot of coach speak from Carlos Hyde, which is fine. But I thought interesting that Anthony Hitchens mentioned playing all the linebacker spots and learning all of the linebacker spots. I thought that was really interesting. And then secondarily, because I think, you know, Reggie Ragland on the mic and Hitchens moving over to one of the outside backer spots might be getting your best three guys out there. I will say if that's getting your best three guys out there, I'm a little disappointed. Hitchens, they're going to play because they're going to justify the money. And I'll tell you what, it would be a bold and a unique move if they did not start Anthony Hitchens with all the money they've got tied up in him. But we've talked about who has pressure on him. Sammy Watkins has pressure. Anthony Hitchens has pressure on him this year. You know, he didn't have the kind of year that certainly Chiefs fans wanted him to have. I think that certainly the Chiefs wanted him to have last year. He really needs to produce. He's got the fourth biggest cap number on the team this year. That's a guy that needs to produce. By the way, if you're curious, Watkins counting $19.2 million against the cap, number one. Eric Fisher at $13.7 million, number two. Travis Kelce, $10.7 million, number three. And Hitchens at $9.5 million is number four to round out the top five. LDT, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, at $8.3 million is next. Frank Clark, since he was a big money addition, if you're curious, $6.5 million, comes in at number six. But I think for Hitchens, this is a big year for Hitchens because next year he counts 11.3 and he's 8.4 to cut. So it's not a big savings, but he's $2.9 million cheaper off the roster than he is on it. So that's always a watershed mark when a contract gets to be cheaper to cut than keep. That's where you really got to make the roster. So Hitchens, to me, if he has the year that he had last year in this new defense, he's cut. You'll save the 2.9. And make him a post-June 1 cut, and he counts 4-2 and 4-2, and so the savings becomes about $7.1 million in year one. Now you're then got to carry the 4-2 the next year. But he becomes a very cuttable player. So I thought interesting that he's talking about knowing all the spots. I think part of that's just to be the quarterback on defense. And so he can tell the outside backers if they don't know where they're going, this is what you got to do. But he needs to settle in somewhere, and he needs to be really good if you're going to carry $11.3 million against the cap for Anthony Hitchens next year. So there's a lot of motivation for Hitchens to click with Steve Spagnuolo and make this defense work.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, when he was playing the 4-3 in Dallas, wasn't he playing the Sam position? Wasn't he playing strong side instead of Mike? That's what I remember.
Covered the Cowboys. It should be pointed out. Chris Bullard covered the Cowboys for a couple of years.
I'm pretty sure he played more Sam and strong side than he did Mike. He was more of in the backup role, though, because, of course, Sean Lee was playing middle. But I could – if I'm
– But Sean Lee's down so much.
Well, yeah, of course. And now that they have, you know, Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, it's a little different. But I just don't know where the athleticism – I don't know how athletic this linebacking group is going to be, Saran. If you have Reggie Ragland at the Sam and Damian Wilson possibly, and then DOD, I think DOD could be a weak side. I think he could be a Will, and he could be play – as you said, I think last week about how he will do in space tackling, you know, bigger running backs. Can he get guys down? Can he be a force, you know, plugging gaps and whatnot? But on third downs and covering backs out of the backfield, he was pretty effective at that last season.
Who was?
DOD.
Dorian O'Daniel.
Yeah, Dorian O'Daniel. Sorry.
I'm not, you know, your young, hip terms.
Yeah, Dorian O'Daniel. I was saying him as like a Will. Like, yeah. I think there's a legitimacy.
Oh, I love him. I love his body type to play the Will and play it really well.
Yeah.
I do think there's a problem in the sense that the Will and Sam, again, weak side linebacker and strong side linebacker, more and more are interchangeable, particularly if you want to hide a blitz or a coverage package, then you don't want a linebacker. You don't want your outside linebackers switching sides every time the tight end goes in motion. You're giving away what you're doing. You're announcing it's man. You're announcing that it's a weak and a strong side approach to things. So I would prefer a defense where my two outside backers are interchangeable. And by the way, the other thing I was looking up, I like to go to the October depth chart of previous years of teams just to see mid-season where a guy was. And both times, for what it's worth, Our Lads is a great site for depth charts if you're ever looking for it. Doesn't require a subscription. The guys who do the draft stuff do a great depth chart for both college and pro football. So throw some love to somebody who does a really good job on the depth chart. It's not 100%. It's not infallible. But in October of 17 and October of 16, they listed Anthony Hitchens on the mic.
So he was listed on the mic. Okay.
I'm sure he played both, and they've got Sean Lee on the weak side.
Okay.
But I'm with you. I think what happened, I'm not so sure that what didn't happen and why you think that way is when they went to the nickel and dime, Hitchens came off and Lee moved to the mic.
And yeah, he moved to the mic. Okay.
And so they got Hitchens out in coverage, but in the base defense, I think he was the mic.
He was playing more mic.
He came off the field because he doesn't cover well, which we saw a lot last year. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what we need, you know, what the Chiefs end up deciding they need from the Mike linebacker, and whether or not they think Hitchens can play on that outside and play in coverage. He's the green dot guy right now. So the green dot guy ain't coming off the field. And that's why I think if he's going to be the green dot guy, he needs to be the guy in the middle, and he needs to be, and he can't come off the field. And so we'll take a break right now and talk more about the Chiefs defense a little bit later on. When we come back, we're going to hear Brad Porter talking with Adam Teicher. They just got done discussing practice today. We'll hear their thoughts when we come back. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, Adam Teicher from ESPN.com joins us now, just wrapping up Chiefs practice here in St. Joe, Missouri. Well, listen to the coaches' comments and the player comments there, and Seren kind of pointed out maybe the Andy was getting a little bit chapped that Damien Williams hasn't been able to go yet with the hamstring. And you can't force somebody to play if they can't play, but you get 5-6 days into this kind of thing, coaches get irritated a little bit.
Yeah, they do. And I know the Chiefs aren't real happy with him and the way he took care of himself. I think they feel like he can be better with the off-the-field stuff like nutrition, like hydration, like stretching. So so I think the Chiefs were surprised to see it's 8 days into camp or 7 days into camp, and he's still not out there. So I mean, things are getting away from him a little bit here. So, this stranglehold that maybe he had on that featured back position, not so much anymore. I mean, I don't think that leash is going to be maybe as long as it would have been otherwise. So we'll see what happens with him. I mean, if he comes back anytime soon and plays well, this will be all forgotten. But he's got some work to do here.
Well, if you're not getting reps at all, or you're getting fewer reps, that's going to give guys like Carlos Hyde a chance to establish that this is the job that I want. I want to be the number one. And we heard Eric Bieniemy say a few weeks ago, not only said Damian Williams is our number one, but we want every other guy kicking their ass to try to take it from him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Chiefs have some real depth at that position, maybe more than they've had during Andy Reid's time here. I know they like Carlos Hyde, and he looks pretty good out there. They like Darrell Williams, the rookie Darwin Thompson, maybe not an every-down guy, but he can do some good stuff for them. You know, that's a position where the Chiefs have needed depth over the years, haven't always had it. Three of the last 4 years, the guy who was the featured back this time of year didn't finish the season for him.
Right.
Remember in 15, Jamal Charles tore up his knee.
Right.
16 was fine. 17, Spencer Ware got hurt in the preseason, didn't play. And then last year was Kareem Hunt got cut.
Right.
So the Chiefs have needed that depth, and it hasn't always been a place where they've had it. So I think they did a better job maybe preparing for something like this during the offseason.
And I feel bad for Spencer Ware because it looks like he's going to miss another season, and it might be to the point where football may be not long in his future.
Yeah.
A lot of comments today about Tonneau passing you. I know Nate Buchady, who's just walked into the tent, had some tweet comments about it. And is it just the fact that they're using him at the position which seems to make the most sense? Is he excelling at doing that? Why does he stand out? Because he stands out to me, too. But for you, does he stand out?
Yeah, he looks good. I mean, the Chiefs have obviously decided we're going to give him one last chance to see what we've got here. And he's making the most of it. I mean, I think he's a guy who's who the Chiefs can feature in certain situations. So, I do think he's making the most of it. It's not just that he's out there. I mean, he's out there and he's also making plays and he's getting some things done. That's another position where the Chiefs seem to have some real depth is on the defensive line now. They may end up cutting a guy or trading a guy who have some value to other teams.
And with Tonneau passing, you know, maybe this new staff has kind of figured out what would be better for him. And Breland Speaks is kind of in that same boat.
Yeah, Breland Speaks made a nice play early in practice today. So, yeah, I think both those guys maybe have more value to the Chiefs now than they would have otherwise in the old system.
Now, I'm looking at wide receivers. I was talking about this earlier today in terms of the battle. I think you got four locks, and I don't know if they go with six or seven. It'll depend on special teams, too. But you got Byron Pringle and Marcus Kemp and, some other players they brought in. Garrett Dieter, who's been hurt the last couple of days, he could lose some stock a little bit. But after number four, you could have a really good battle, not only in camp, but in those early exhibition games.
And I think special teams will decide those spots, at least one of them. And I thought Marcus Kemp might have a problem this year, but he had a nice day today. And I think Marcus Kemp is too good on special teams. They're going to have to keep him. I think we talked about Damian Williams this time. Now, Garrett Dieter's missed almost a week now, so he's fallen behind a little bit. So I don't know if he's going to have time to make this up. We'll just have to see. But I think the four guys you talked about, plus Pringle and Kemp, right now look pretty good to me.
All right, last week when I talked with Mitch Holt, his voice of the Chiefs, he said, and I'll wrap this up for you, he said maybe the most important position group to watch at training camp is the tight end spot for who's going to be number two. You have Blake Bell in there. You have John Lovett, who's experimental. But there could be a guy that maybe somebody else who comes out of nowhere. But that's a big spot for this Chiefs offense.
Yeah, it is. And I know the Chiefs have been looking. I mean, they brought in a couple veterans in the offseason who were already cut. So I expect them to keep looking. They won't be satisfied with what they've got. Last year they really only kept two tight ends for most of the season, so that may be where they go again this year. You know, I think Blake Bell sort of has the stranglehold on that spot right now. It's his job to lose. But Deion Yelder, I know the Chiefs like him, and they think there's some potential there. They may want to keep him around as well. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But, yeah, that is an interesting spot for the Chiefs right now.
All right, that's Adam Teich. You can read all of his Chiefs training camp coverage on ESPN.com. Adam, thank you very much.
Hey, anytime, Brad.
All right, we'll send him back to the studio.
All right, thank you very much. Brad Porter there with Adam Teicher, and great stuff. Always great to hear Adam Teicher. You hear him on all week long here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Fridays with us in the program. Seren Petro with you as we're wrapping things up here on Sports Saturday. By the way, again, nice job out of the fans. Again, practice tomorrow, 8:15. We appreciate everybody sticking with us through the trials and tribulations that we've had with some of the technical issues that have been going on. But it's because of your passion for Chiefs football, and we're thrilled to work through these technical problems and find a way to bring you the coverage, best coverage in Kansas City of the Chiefs training camp. So nice job out of the fans, and I know everybody flocking up to St. Joe. Keep going. It's a special team. I don't know that this is the year that it's going to be a Super Bowl, but with Patrick Mahomes, they're going to win a Super Bowl. Mahomes plus Reed equals Super Bowl, I think, in years to come. Mahomes plus Reed plus Veach. Mahomes plus Reed plus Veach plus Spagnuolo are going to be key pieces that we say, hey, this is the group that finally brought the Super Bowl back home to Kansas City. For the first time in 50 years, this is the 50th season since the Kansas City Chiefs last won the Super Bowl. So I would advise you to get up to a training camp. You've got this week and next through Thursday. Those are the final days to get up to training camp if you want to say, yeah, I was at camp. I saw that team being put together the year that they won the Super Bowl again, brought the Lombardi Trophy home, brought the Lamar Hunt Trophy to where it belongs in Arrowhead Stadium. I was there along the way. Certainly the games, regular season and postseason, are going to be the big ones, but something special, a chance to be a part of something special, and I certainly invite you with the kids to take the kids up there, because think about it. You got an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kid, they're going to be able to say, yeah, I remember the year we won the Super Bowl in 2019, and I was even up there. My dad took me up. My mom took me up. My uncle took me up to training camp, and we were there from the beginning. It'll be a special memory for the little ones. So if you get a chance, get up to St. Joe. It's an easy drive, and take advantage of the fact that the Chiefs are back home. That's going to do it for us, for Brad Porter, and for Chris Bullock here on Sports Saturday. Seren Petro saying thanks for joining us. Best of 8-10 is next.